it's been going an inch by inch by inch underwater, and now this that last inch, it just popped up onto the sand. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week we talk about talking machines. Please stay tuned, Terrifying Robot Dog is next. I want the Terrifying Robot Dog to have a voice.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like a barking, robotic barking.
Yeah, like another, like a third host that just sort of pop in, say things. Maybe it could fill in if we were busy.
Yeah.
We did do that years ago.
Yeah, we did. We had bots that narrated an outtakes episode while we over Christmas vacation.
That was awesome. That was really funny. Yeah. I think that was when we were doing the Niche podcast. But if people wanted to, I don't think that was TRD. If people want to check out niche.cc, there's see if you could find the Christmas episode with J-Bot and K-Bot. It was pretty funny.
Yep. Yeah, I like that J-Bot only, or that K-Bot only had two lines in the whole thing.
The outtakes are just hilarious.
Yeah.
So, speaking of speaking, this week we want to talk about a Google DeepMind project called WaveNet, which is a neural network, another AI episode. But this one generates very realistic human speech, much more realistic than anything you've probably heard from Siri or Alexa or Google Now or the lot of them.
Yeah, it's very good. It does music as well.
Yeah. So, hilariously, the scientists who are working on this are like, well, it can make any waveform, so we figured it might as well write classical music while we're at it. And I got to tell you, I mean, I went to music school, I've studied music, and the samples that they have, I want to hear more. Like, I was bummed out that they stopped after 10 seconds or so. I'm like, wow, that is some pretty cool piano music.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I was wondering what you would think of those.
I loved it. I was seriously disappointed that it stopped. It was very avant-garde classical piano. I could have listened to it all day. Like, that's so. Here's the funny thing. I think I've said before on the show that I cannot listen to music while I work because it distracts me too much because I start to deconstruct it. And I think listening to that wouldn't distract me because there's no way I could deconstruct it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm going to be on the lookout for more WaveNet, for the WaveNet station on Pandora.
That would be cool. There's another, I guess, sort of maybe similarly related project that I'll have to see if I can find the link to. This guy, I think it was some kind of thesis project, crowdsourced the creation of music.
Hmm.
He started with two notes and would have people... It was a poll basically to pick which note you wanted, and then it paired another note with a couple of notes with it, and it just kept building on it from there.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it was really interesting, and it turned out pretty cool. I'll have to see if I can find a link to it.
Hmm. And like, I'm such a jerk, my brain immediately went to monetizing that. So like, you could pay to have your vote count more. Be like, no, it should really go down a minor third.
Yeah, it should really go down, right.
Crowdfund the next note on the project.
Yeah, I think now he's working on the lyrics the same way.
Oh, cool. Jeez, that's really cool. So, it'd probably easier to just write it yourself, but hey,
probably,
interesting
yeah.
experiment.
I'll crawl back through my browser history and see if I can find it. Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks.
Good luck with that. So, okay, so what's interesting about this? As everything gets more connected and the user experience of being connected to the network explodes out of the, you know, shiny rectangles in our pockets and moves out to, you know, the Pringles can sitting on your kitchen counter or your watch or, you know, your workout station or your electric guitar.
Or your earbud, your AirPod.
Yeah, exactly. Your AirPods. As all these, as the sensors get smaller and the chips get smaller and the power gets a little bit better and the connectivity gets better, the interface for interacting with services that are available over the internet is not always going to be, and not always the best way to be, is not going to have a graphical user interface necessarily, because some things, there's some plenty of use cases where it makes more sense to talk to the computer. Mm-hmm. The problem is, and Siri is the worst one at this, is a lot of times you'll talk to the phone, say, "Hey Siri," and and I'll say something like, you know, I'll ask it a question, and then she'll say, "Here are your results,"
and show it on the phone.
Yeah, no, I don't want to look. I'm either driving or I can't look at the phone, or the phone's not even out of my pocket.
Right. Like if I wanted to look, I would just like not be talking to you.
Right.
Be typing in a search query.
Yes, oftentimes that I really want to hear the results back. And one thing I will say about Siri is that it's one of the better sounding talking, you know, text to speech situations mm-hmm. or implementations out there. But it's WaveNet. So this WaveNet project is kind of like Deep Dream, which I don't know if we ever talked about.
I don't think we ever did, probably because it creeped us out too much.
It's super creepy.
But it is.
Deep Dream will take a source image and it will apply. It's almost like a Photoshop filter in a way, but it's not like random noise. It takes what it knows about looking at billions of images. It looks for patterns based on what it's learned about looking at other images, and it tries to find them in mm-hmm. the source image, and then it kind of enhances them. And so it brings out in the one I just did, because I never played with it before and I'm still get the chills from it. You know, I have a picture of Cooper sitting on the couch, and then I run it through Deep Dream, and all of a sudden these sort of nightmarish, fanciful creatures are sort of staring out.
It's like eyeballs everywhere. It's like it's looking into another dimension.
Yeah, it's almost like putting on glasses and like, oh, there are trolls everywhere. know, like, yeah. Ah! And it's not like, oh, there's a lizard. It's more like, oh, there's half of a lizard's head attached mm-hmm. to a bird. And
right.
you're like, whoa. I probably shouldn't have started with a picture of my kid.
Probably not.
It would have been better. I was like, wow, that's so, you know, I was like, wow. And I made it my desktop pattern. And then I'm like, that's not a good idea.
No.
So.
Just don't show it to your kid.
No. Well, he'll be like, whoa, what's that? I'll be like, those are the nightmare creatures that live in our living room.
Exactly.
Don't worry. If you're nice to them and go to bed early and brush your teeth,
they won't eat you.
They won't harm you in any way. So this kind of reminded me of that, where they take... So I guess the way it works now with most text-to-speech things is that they create a database of phrases and sort of chop them up into little fragments and then string them together to form what they call complete utterances.
Which is... It's oddly similar to how I edit this podcast.
So that's what Siri is. They actually had a woman come in and record the whole bunch of strings. You know, they gave her a bunch of strings to read, and they mm-hmm. either play them as is, or they recombine them in ways to give them to make sense. But they've got this right. database, and they can't just automatically change it to a guy or automatically change the accent or whatever.
Or the language. Or do they? Well, I guess language is a little easier, because I suppose, do they just like chop it up into different phonics and then combine the phonics together? Or
like a ransom note.
You'd have to, if you wanted to be able to automatically do something like change languages, I would think.
But yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I suppose you could get it down to the phonics level. Wow, that'd be weird.
Seems like it would feel really choppy when you pieced it back together.
Right. And that's the thing. So when you listen to a typical database-driven one, it's, I guess they call that concatenative text-to-speech. Mm-hmm. Say that 10 times fast. Then it sounds really choppy. It's very robotic. It's similar to what I think you're used to hearing when you call like your bank and you get the, you know, your... Okay, balance is, you know, it works, but it's certainly not human. It's very, it's very cold, I think.
You wouldn't want to listen to it for long.
No. In fact, I think the Kindle app for a while, I think they got a little hot water over this, but you could choose to have a text-to-speech bot read you a Kindle book, not an audiobook, but just sort of like screen reader your book. And I think the audio people kind of freaked out about that. But I was like, who would listen to that? You know, it seemed, unless you couldn't read, but I mean, it's brutal to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. And you bring up another thing I surprisingly hadn't thought of, but that being screen readers. So improvements in the quality of computer generated voice would be excellent for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So concatenative TTS has, you know, the downsides of it are evident. So this sort of newer thing, the new kid on the block in the space, is something that they call parametric TTS, where the information required to generate the data is stored as parameters. So characteristics of the speech can be changed depending on the inputs to the, like, the model. So it sounds, it gives you more flexibility over some of the, it sounds like it gives you more flexibility over kind of the nuances and phrasing and.
You get some intonation and some, yeah.
But it says though that people tend to think it still sounds a little less natural because it's, there's not a person reading, you know, even though the other ones, the first one is chopped up, it is a person reading. So this is kind of the state of the art up until WaveNet, which seems like it's going to be, it seems promising in this regard, at least based on the examples. So this is wild. So they took an image processing algorithm and they kind of repurposed it for waveforms. And if you're used to doing any kind of either web development or iOS or Android development, really anything that has a graphical interface, you know that you need to have like 60 frames per second to really get a smooth, kind of buttery experience that the eye perceives as fluidity.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're doing VR, you need at least 90 if you don't want people to puke.
And I usually don't want people to puke.
Yeah.
Usually. I mean, I can think of a few bachelor parties where it was probably the best thing to have happen.
Yeah.
But so check this out. So, geez, 90 frames per second for VR. Yeah, well, audio samples, you need 16,000 samples per second or more.
Wow.
To get a convincing audio stream. There's a lot of nuance to audio. I find fascinating. It's like wow, your ear, your hearing, and you know the cognitive aspect of that as well, of course, not just your ears, but is in a way more sensitive than what your eye can perceive.
For some of us, more than others. I know your brain like just naturally does a lot of filling in the gaps in your vision at times. So, but it's interesting to hear that your ears don't do that so much or are more, I guess pickier about it.
Oh, interesting. And it might not really be a fair apples to apples comparison because we're also talking about, we're not just talking about the smoothness of the sound, which I suppose you could kind of compare frame rate. Probably better apples to apples comparison would be
pixel density.
Yeah, or bit, you know, just with sound to be like bit rate, because you can hear a bad CD, you know, it sounds different. But so perhaps it takes the 16,000 samples per second to create something that is potentially indistinguishable from a human actually speaking those words. This is wild because it kind of, if this worked, and it does clearly already sound better, like if you listen to the samples, maybe we can even play a couple, maybe we can stick them in later, but if you listen to the samples, they're clearly better.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting because at a couple of places, the computer stops to catch its breath.
Right? I know. It's like you hear that sort of inhales and pauses and the sort of like mouth sounds, like you're if you smile, you can sort of hear your teeth click kind of. And it has all that. It's like so wild. And it raises that kind of course, I immediately go to Terminator. Where Arnold Schwarzenegger, I don't want to, you know, spoilers if you haven't seen Terminator 1 yet. you might want to tune out for 30 seconds. But he let's see, Arnold Schwarzenegger commandeers a police car, grabs the police radio, and just does exactly this with the cop that he just vanquished. He had said a few things to him first, and so Arnold Schwarzenegger had enough of an audio sample that he could perfectly mimic the guy's voice, but not repeating what the guy said, just talking, like saying whatever he wanted to say, but sounding exactly like the guy.
Yeah, well, we did an episode a little while back about AI writing content for the internet, mm-hmm. and the subject of trust and trusting your sources and that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly where I'm going, which is Schwarzenegger's character, the Terminator, when he spoofed, he socially engineered the person on the other end of the CB radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched, like, in my daily life, I have, like, this background process running where every time I notice someone being authenticated in real life based on something that we take for granted. You see it all the time, especially in TV shows. So, like, you'll see like, what show was it? It was Daredevil. I've been hooked on Daredevil.
Okay, yeah.
And there's a scene where this prison guard gets let into a prisoner area and, does his thing, and he comes back out, and the guy on the other side of the cell door just opens it up and lets him out. Because he mm-hmm. can see that it's the guy.
He can see that it's the same guy.
He didn't have to take out any ID or anything like that. But there's a massive assumption there, which is that nothing can shapeshift. it's a pretty safe assumption.
It's a pretty good assumption at this point, yeah.
Pretty good assumption. So maybe this particular example is not on point, or is perhaps a millennium in the future. But there are lots of situations where you don't have that in-person visual confirmation. So a couple of situations you can imagine. Another show I'm hooked on right now, Jessica Jones. There's a character who has reason to believe that she's being pursued by a supervillain. So she's got a apartment that's kind of like a fortress. And at the front, instead of having like a little peephole, she's got a screen, like a camera. And she's got a screen on the other side. So she's not actually looking at the person. Hijack the video feed. And we've seen this already where you can put your overlay the example was a George W. Bush kind of like video feed mask over your own facial expressions. Mm-hmm. Or in other words, you could drive a video of a famous person by just talking normally, and the pre-existing recorded video would be modified to look like it was saying what you're saying. So now if you take this voice thing on top of it and you can make it sound like that person,
it gets scary. I mean, what would you do? Like, if you got a phone call from me, say, hey, I've lost the password for such and such Stripe account and I didn't end there.
Yeah. Like, think of how much authentication is built into hearing someone's voice over an audio channel.
Mm-hmm.
So like yesterday, I had to send in some stuff to my payroll company, and I texted Erica over Facebook Messenger, and I said, hey, could you take a picture of one of our house checks and just write void on it and take a picture of it and chat it to me?
Because you need the routing numbers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they wanted the actual photo.
Right.
So as soon as I typed it, I was like, oh, I wonder if she's going to do it. because it could have been my Facebook. It was like a very weird request. She didn't know I had to do something with the payroll company.
Right. Like, your Facebook account could have been hacked.
Oh, yeah. Could you just, do you know the account numbers for the what's it called? The wire transfer number for the house account? And I was like, oh, yeah, but, and I'm sort of like having this conversation in my head, like, oh, yeah, but the person wouldn't know what to say. And I'm like, well, yeah, they would. They could just scroll back in the history and pick stuff I usually say, like how I usually sign on, how I usually sign off, stickers I usually use, common typos. They could impersonate me so easily over a chat channel. It'd be absurd.
Yeah.
So I forgot to, but I was going to bust her croakies later, being like, how do you even know that was me?
How do you know it was me? Yeah.
You should ask me like a secret question. Okay, so everybody knows that Facebook accounts get hacked, and that it's possible to trick someone into getting you to do something like that. But now imagine if it's over audio, just like you said, and you get a phone call from somebody and it totally sounds like them. Like, mm-hmm. it's them as far as you're concerned. And they ask you to do something, you're going to do it. If it's convincing, why would you even question it? Like, we're going to have to get, like, you know how this sort
right,
of
yeah.
Uber nerds are like PGP for everything. Like, everything has to have PGP.
We're going to have PGP, I don't know, ways of calling each other. I don't know.
Yeah. There needs to be some kind of, I mean, the spoofing is going to be just unbelievable. So you'll be able to like do social engineering at scale, theoretically, you know, like, mm-hmm. like how are you going to validate? Cause not voice was like a good one. Seems to
right,
be
because it didn't sound realistic. Yeah. Yeah. Because computer generated voice didn't sound realistic and now it will.
Mm. So I just find that fascinating. The video one is super scary. And now like combine the audio thing with it. And it's like, wow.
We're going to have to be microchip like our pets. And like, oh, is that really you? Let me scan you first.
You know what's probably the most realistic way to do it is to have an out of band authentication between. So we've got some kind of implant and there and your private key is like your fingerprint. And launching the phone call is something that also authenticates you in an encrypted way that it would be impossible, like unreasonable to spoof. So that almost like everybody would have a secure line to people that, especially people that you see in real life. So like, you know, so like with your spouse, you could kind of like do this in real life OAuth kind of like not, I want to say physical communications, but audio communications or video communications. But I feel like there really is going to need to be something. And historically, it's never been adopted. Like you can have PGP emails that are signed cryptographically, but like nobody does it except for paranoid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's going to be crazy. So,
it's
okay.
Think about it.
Yeah. So aside from that, the fear factor.
There's lots of good things about this too.
Sure. So like you were talking the other day about the Lobot, right? Like,
oh yeah, the Lobot. Lowe's has a robot in one of their stores in San Francisco now to help you around.
Hmm. Yeah. And it's kind of like, it doesn't look that dissimilar from Baxter. If you've seen Baxter, it's a little bit more, it's like a cross between Baxter and a Dalek. If you're a Doctor Who fan, but you know, it kind of rolls around. It's got a screen on it and mm-hmm. Does it talk? I don't think it talks.
I don't know if it talks or not. I know the screen kind of plays ads for you as you walk through the different things in the store.
Yeah.
and gives you visual information like pricing and all that stuff. But I don't know if it talks.
Yeah. But so this would be a perfect application of that. Mm-hmm. So it would be able to have a very natural conversation. Very natural sounding conversation. The speech recognition. So like when you're talking to the computer, the speech recognition algorithms are getting really good. So,
yeah.
you know, pretty soon it's going to be, you know, I feel like pretty soon it's going to be relatively normal to be talking to the internet and have it talk back to you. You know, a chatbot's actually going to turn into a bot that chats with you.
Yeah.
It's wild. And then like, okay, then we could go off on a whole tangent of like, okay, once we get there, once you can talk to the internet, what effect is that going to have on literacy rates and the importance of
being, yeah. Are we going to transition to a post-literate society?
I know. I mean, Cooper is like, he's well on his way to learning how to read. You know, he's like
right.
He's reading stuff.
Yeah.
But he still will. It's wild to see him get around.
Right. Like he's learning to read just because that's the thing you do when you're a kid is you learn to read, but he's not as dependent on it as we were.
Yep. Yeah. He knows to look for the microphone. He said, where's the microphone on this one?
Yeah.
He just expects it the way that you remember when touch screens first came out and there were all these like, kind of like, wow, can you know, what a huge change. And, you know, my kid went up and touched the TV screen. Like that was going to do something. They just expect everything to be touch enabled. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. It's getting to the point where he's expecting everything to be speech enabled.
Yeah. And going into rooms where an Alexa doesn't exist. And
yeah. Like what's wrong with this house?
Yeah.
You can't tell the lights to come on. Like what's up? That's another one. That's another good one. How do you, what if somebody's in your house or like, and you've got whatever house guests over or your ex and they're like, Alexa, what's the bank account balance? or whatever. Like, where's the authentication? Right. There is an authentication in the app initially, but once it's authenticated, it's like everybody's using the same account.
Yeah.
Although interestingly, you can go back and listen to what it heard so you can hear who said the thing.
Oh, can you go back? I knew it logged it in the app, but I didn't know you could go back and listen.
Yeah. So if somebody is like, Alexa, buy more Jimmy Dean sausages. I'm like, why do these Jimmy Dean sausages come here?
Keep showing up. Yeah.
Right. And you can go back and like, oh, she's answering me. I think she just bought Jimmy Dean sausages. Which
that's
is
wonderful.
Horrible because I don't even like those.
No, that's awesome. I had another dream last night about her turning evil.
What could possibly go wrong?
Mm.
What was it? A good one?
I don't remember enough of the details about it, unfortunately. Mm. But just that she was evil and running rampant, and we couldn't control her anymore.
Mm.
She was just kind of doing whatever she wanted to at our expense, literally.
Well, this gets back to we had a conversation earlier that this WaveNet sort of feeds into, where an AI, a sufficiently super intelligent AI, will just trick you. We'll keep the AI on this box. It won't be connected to anything. There'll be an air gap. She won't be able to escape. I don't know why I always think it's a she. She won't be able to escape onto the internet.
That might change too, because the reason most computer generated voices are female is because for some reason the generated female voice is easier to understand than a male voice.
That makes sense.
So that might change too.
Interesting. So it's just like one more way that they could fool you. Like, oh, your phone rings, it's your boss. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. The president called and said he wants you to connect you cross the air gap, connect the thing to the internet. I don't know why, I just do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Oopsie. Now there's a super intelligent virus pumping out, pulping the rainforest to send thank you cards.
To Mars.
Yeah. So
they get better all the time.
I know.
And it's really cool.
It is cool. I don't know why I'm skewing so dystopian on this one, because I think it's a great thing. But for some reason, I think listening to it, it's kind of like the same reaction I had to the deep dream.
Mm-hmm.
There's something creepy about it. Like, whoa, that's too, that's a little too human.
Yeah, there's all kinds of applications for better and more natural sounding computer generated voices and audio and music and all that that are very beneficial to us and will be very useful. But just hearing it for the first time like that, because it's so good, it's just so jarring that it makes you go, whoa, computers aren't supposed to be able to do this.
Yeah, it's crossing a line, not a bad mm-hmm. line, but it's crossing a line that had never been crossed before.
Right, so it just makes you stop and think.
Yeah, and it's not just some arbitrary line. It's like the fish crawling out of the ocean line.
Right.
Yeah. The last inch that it went is the difference between being underwater and being on the beach.
Right, it's an evolutionary leap.
Yeah, so it's like it's been going an inch by inch by inch underwater, and now that last inch, it just popped up onto the sand.
Yep, suddenly it's a thing.
Yeah, creeptastic. So, I mean, I do think, I used to call myself a techno-utopian. I'm not that far on the positive side anymore, but I still am a very optimistic person. And mm-hmm. technology has, it's easy to look at history and see that technology has been wildly beneficial for the quality of life globally. So, I mean, it's good, but
I mean, yeah, I mean, sure, there's been times where people have used these technological advances to do evil, but it's been the people that have been doing evil, not the technology. Mm-hmm. And overall benefits far outweigh the negatives.
Yeah, I think so. It's just fun to think of all the crazy stuff that it just enables. The mind boggles at what this enables.
Yeah, I once read an essay about the science fiction genre being popular because it's one of the better sort of playgrounds for exploring different aspects of human nature. Mm-hmm. And I think this kind of plays into that because it feels science fiction-y. And then the fact that it's becoming real, too, it's just, it gets weird.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like imagining like one possible eventual outcome is to have like a comedy AI that just tells jokes all the time. And it'll be like, have a
jokes that it generated.
Yeah. that it didn't, right, exactly. So it listens to like a million jokes. You know, it's just like the entire canon of Seinfeld and Louis C.K. and Chris Rock and Eddie Murphy and all the way back, Richard Pryor, everything. It just listens to every single joke. And they're like, okay, make me laugh.
Now you know what's funny.
Make me laugh. And so here's the wild thing. The training, right, it just start telling jokes. They might not even be coherent, but it might be funny anyway. Like right. Steve Martin wasn't really that coherent. He was just like slapsticky, kind of funny. It can just listen to somebody laughed or not and just keep trying.
Right. Keep learning.
Yeah. So like AI stand-up, you know?
Nice.
We would be paralyzed as a race because if it worked, it would be so funny. Like eventually we would probably die of side cramps.
We have to force ourselves to tune out.
Right. How could you, right? The dopamine hit from a hilarious comedian. Just like you just turn on hilarious comedian whenever you want and then be like, okay, I can't. There'd have to be some kind of like governor on it that would shut it off after, like when you go in a hot tub and it's got a timer because they know you're going to fall asleep in it.
Right.
You have to get a set of timer. 10 minutes of hilarious comedian, please.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't come home and do that at the end of a bad day?
Right. Talk about addictive. Just constantly new material. That'd be so great. Anyway, so okay, that's a happy place to leave it.
Yeah, yeah, that's better than monsters in the living room.
Exactly. All right, that's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to support Terrifying Robot Dog? Just think of two friends who would dig the show and send them to terrifyingrobotdog.com for links to iTunes, Facebook, and RSS feeds. If you don't have two friends, you can still help us out by leaving a nice review on iTunes. Thanks.